I'm Brett Chang.
And I am Jay Rosenthal, and this is your Peak Daily for TGIF, April 19th, where we cover the biggest stories in Canadian and global business, finance, and tech, all in less than 7 minutes.
Okay, so Jay, are you fascinated by the love of billionaires, good with words, and just generally kind of nosy? Well, media outlet The Daily Beast has a job for you. The Smart Tabloid, that's what they kind of refer to themselves as, are looking to hire a full-time reporter to cover Jeff Bezos's fiance, Lauren Sanchez. Now, to me, Jay, this sounds a little weird and degrading to this grown woman, and frankly, a lot less exciting than the full-time Beyonce reporter gig that was being advertised last year. What do you think, Jay? Is this legitimate reporting, or is it a step too far?
I think covering Beyonce is legit reporting. She's a juggernaut. I think covering Jeff Bezos' fiance is a little creepy and a little weird and borders on paparazzi, but with a pen. It's not great.
I don't feel like it needs to be a full-time beat. If there's a story there, you can cover the story, and that's fine. And I'm sure there's like valid stories about her that you can publish. But I don't know why you need a full-time beat reporter on her. A full-time beat reporter on Jeff Bezos, which...
Or even his ex-wife.
Or even his ex-wife. But Jeff Bezos in particular, that makes more sense to me. And then you can also, you know, write stories about Lauren Sanchez if they're relevant. But I don't think a full-time beat reporter on just Lauren Sanchez is appropriate.
It seems like you'd be really digging for stories most of the time.
I don't know. They apparently think not.
I think it was a way for this podcast to actually talk about the Daily Beast. It's probably what.
Someone's buying, I forget who, but there's a big sale going on in the Daily Beast right now.
Yes, there is. I think...
Barry Diller is buying it.
And put real media people in charge.
That's right. I don't know what real media.
So this reporter's likely to lose their job.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, true.
How'd you like a job for a month covering someone where there's going to be two days of stories? Brett, aside from what the Daily Beast is doing or not doing, or how long this person may have a job or not, what do you have
for
Peak Pals
today? First story, Canada has mob ties and a money laundering problem. For our second story, NHL scores a record-breaking year and our big picture.
Yeah, this first story has me nervous to even talk about it, Brett. You think La Cosa Nostra don't have a piece of the pie in the Great White North? Forget about it. Brett, how is the mob involved in
Canada? That was good. That was much better than what I would have done. So faction of the infamous, this is a tough word, Jay. I've heard it before on like The Sopranos, but I don't even know how to say it. Do you know how to say it?
Negrandetta?
There is a way to say it. Anyways, the Italian mafia allegedly laundered money through TD and RBC branches in Ontario after a suspected leader made connections with bank employees, according to reporting by the Toronto Star and other media outlets.
The alleged mastermind was Angelo Figliomeni, a humble Italian immigrant panini seller who also happened to have millions in the bank and, this is a quote, chauffeurs at the ready.
Now to zoom in, I haven't figured out the noise for this yet. But... The alleged crimes happened throughout the early to mid-2010s with a massive police investigation in 2017 exposing the conspiracy. However, lawyers claimed police misused wiretaps, meaning crucial evidence was off the table and charges were stayed.
Because of this, details on the case were never made public, and the authorities were forced to hand back over $35 million in seized assets. Oh, that must have been a windfall for this guy.
And it matters because money laundering has infected Canada's financial ecosystem. An internal report from FinTrack, Canada's financial crimes watchdog, found that almost all the banks and real estate companies it audited last year failed to follow anti-laundering rules.
Canada is so attractive to international criminals that there's even a specific term for laundering money in Canada. It's called snow washing, Brett, something we've talked about before, which admittedly is an awesome name.
Be it from financial crime or terrorist financing, between $40 billion and $130 billion a year in dirty money flows through Canada's economy, per one accountant.
FinTrack is able to fine institutions for non-compliance, but critics feel the fines aren't big enough to force banks to step up policing efforts. CIBC was fined $1.3 million last year, while RBC was fined $7.4 million, mere drops in the bucket for such big banks.
For our second story, the only thing more impressive than the players' soon-to-be-grown playoff beards is the total at the bottom of the NHL balance this year.
Yeah, here's what's driving the news. The NHL playoffs are kicking off this weekend. The Bruins are playing the Maple Leafs. But the league is already set to walk away as the real winner, though it won't be hoisting a silver cup after raking in a record $6.2 billion this season, thanks to a number of lucrative sponsorship deals.
Yeah, so a record 22.5 million fans piled into arenas for games this year, on par with NBA attendance. Well, new media deals and sponsorships further boosted revenue.
The season also saw the highest cable viewership in 30 years, a feat the league credits to a new ESPN TV deal, broadening the sports audience across the U.S.
This matters because the NHL has long been the underperforming younger sibling of the four major sports leagues. But thanks to some savvy deal-making and marketing and top-tier talent on the ice, the league is reaping the rewards of appealing to a wider demographic.
The league's seen an influx in recent years of female fans, with NHL research showing that 37% of hockey fans in 2022 were female, up from 26% in 2016.
Hockey's demographic is also skewing younger, with TV viewership among fans aged 18 to 34 up 49% compared to last season.
Here's the bottom line. The NHL is still a ways away from catching up to the other leagues, all of which bring in more than $10 billion in revenue every year. But with more fans joining one of, if not the most affluent fan bases in sports, the league's future looks bright.
And for our big picture, Netflix reports earnings. The streaming game's biggest player reported strong earnings yesterday, keeping up the momentum of a stock market run that has seen the company add $112 billion in value over the last 6 months. Password crackdowns and a new ad tier have driven up subscriptions, with Netflix adding 4.8 million over the last quarter.
Nestle gets to keep making junk food. Good news for Kit Kat fans everywhere. The world's largest food company fended off an investor challenge aimed at forcing the company to cut back on its unhealthy offerings. The investors that brought on the vote are concerned that Nestle's reputation could suffer over the negative health effects of some of its products.
Feds to launch a new foreign worker program. The federal government is planning to roll out a streamlined temporary foreign worker program designed to give workers more flexibility and protection from exploitative employers. Canada's food industry in particular relies heavily on temporary foreign workers to fill labor shortages. Peak Pals, thanks for making us the most listened to business news podcast in Canada.
If you got a second, why not follow this podcast on your app of choice and leave us a review.
And if you want more Peak, make sure to subscribe to our daily newsletter at readthepeak.com.
Have a great weekend, Peak Pals, and a weekend that includes 420 is definitely going to be a good weekend. Have a good one, Brett.